Hello and welcome to The Dress Circle. This is Michael Kanacki.
And this is Ted Otten.
And we are going to look at just some of the shows that opened in April, and we do have quite a list. And Ted found a different way of wheedling down which ones we were going to use today.
We're going to be concentrating on the big box office hits of the month, except for one April loser, and that was a doozy. We're going to start in the year 2016, and in that year, five musicals opened on Broadway. American Psycho lasted 54 performances, a musical called Nerds, the Bill vs. Steve musical dot comedy, closed during rehearsals because it lost its investors. Tuck Everlasting played 39 performances, and Shuffle Along, a revival of the U.B. Blake musical, lasted 100 performances. But the big winner was Waitress, which opened on April 24, 2016, has already played over 1,500 performances, and just opened in London. From the original cast recording of Waitress, a musical by Sarah Bareilles, we're going to hear the leading lady, Jessie Mueller, falling in love with her psychiatrist, played by Drew Gehring, and they're going to sing a duet called It Only Takes a Taste.
You know, it's kind of funny just seeing you sitting here all by yourself in your uniform. You remind me of a girl I once knew. God, by now she's well in middle age. Probably 41, 42.
Huh, thank you?
What?
Oh my God, no, 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 no.
She was a waitress at a shop I used to frequent quite a lot. Nice teeth and small hands and snuck me goodies I couldn't afford then. She was sweet to me. Reminds me of you.
Oh, well, nobody ever really notices me that way, so.
Somebody did, right? No, because you have the baby.
She'd make the pies fresh every day, like you, I guess. But I must say, if pies were books, yours would be Shakespeare's letters. You remind me of her, but better. It only takes a taste when it's something special. It only takes a taste when you know it's good. Sometimes one bite is more than enough to know you want more of the thing you just got a taste of.
That reminds me of a thing we would say, me and my mama, in the kitchen when we'd bake. She'd say, Jenna, you can tell the whole story with a taste.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I mean. I swear that as those flavors mixed and melted, I could hear the sirens sing. It was truly something special, one taste, and I want the whole thing. I must say, it felt like I was carried away. Intoxicated made me escape the room I was in. I can't help but wonder how your hands must have felt creating such a masterful thing.
Just one bite caused all that wondering.
It only takes a taste.
It only takes a taste when you know it's good. Sometimes one bite is more than enough to know you want more of the thing you just gotta taste of.
Jessie Mueller and Drew Gehring sang It Only Takes a Taste from Waitress.
It's interesting because I love to dig back in history, and the earliest musical that we have was one that didn't contain original music. They were songs thrown into it, but it was abandoned in Philadelphia, as many things have been over the years, at the New Theater in Southwark in Philly. It was called The Disappointment or The Force of Credulity. And it was abandoned, get this, Ted, it was abandoned because it contained personal reflections and was unfit for the stage. No, what would they have made of the things that are on stage now?
No such thing now.
And that was supposed to open on April 6th, 1767, but it was a different time. Let's jump ahead just a little bit to another box office winner and go to April 7th, 1949 and the Majestic Theater. South Pacific ran for 1,925 performances, a big hit for Rodgers and Hammerstein. And we're going to listen to a song that was cut from the score because, well, we've played just about everything else several times over the years. Here is a bonus track from one of the CDs featuring Mary Martin singing that cut song, The Loneliness of Evening.
I wake in the loneliness of sunrise, when the deep purple heaven turns blue, and start to pray as I pray each day that I'll hear some word from you. Looking out on a silver flake sea, and ask the moon, oh, how soon will my love come home to me? Will my
That was Mary Martin with The Loneliness of Evening, a song cut from Rodgers and Hammerstein's South Pacific.
We're going to go to one of the big winners of the month, and that's Mel Brooks' musical, The Producers, which won 12 Tony Awards. It opened on April 19th, 2001 at the St. James Theater and ran for 2,502 performances. One of the last songs in the show is called Till Him. The character played by Matthew Broderick comes back and stands trial with his friend Nathan Lane. So here from the original cast recording is Till Him.
Your Honor, when I was in Rio and had everything I'd ever dreamed of, I suddenly realized that this man... No one ever made me feel like someone till him. Life was really nothing but a glum one till him. My existence bordered on the tragic. Always timid, never took a chance. Then I felt his magic, and my heart began to dance. I was always frightened, fraught with worry, till him. I was going nowhere in a hurry, till him. Never ever be another one like him.
Leo, I never realized. You're a good singer.
Thank you, Max. I sang it for you. I sang it because I'm your friend.
Gee, I've had a lot of relationships, but you couldn't call any of them friend. But come to think of it, no one ever really knew me. Till him. Everyone was always out to screw me. Till him. Never met a man I ever trusted. Always dealt with shysters in the past. Now I'm well adjusted, 'cause I've got a friend at last. Don't help me. Always playing singles, never doubles, till him. Never had a pal to share my troubles till him.
He filled up my empty life, filled it to the brim. There could never ever be another.
Matthew Broderick, Nathan Lane, and the company performed Till Him from The Producers.
Another big hit was the original production of Hair, which opened at the Biltmore Theater on April 29, 1968. It would go on to run for 1,750 performances and was the first musical that had full frontal nudity on stage. The thing was, they couldn't move. They could stand there, and people could walk around them while they sang. That was the gist of it. That ran for 1750, but it hasn't had any luck since it's been back. It ran for a month in its first revival. Its second revival, it ran for about 500 performances, and in 2011, it ran for 60 performances. So I think Hair has been cut. But we do have one of our favorite songs from the score. Here is Shelley Plimpton to sing Frank Mills.
A boy called Frank Mills.
September 12th, right here in front of the Waverly. But unfortunately, I lost his address. He was last seen with his friend, a drummer he resembles George Harrison of the Beatles, but he wears his hair tied in a small bow at the back. I love him, but it embarrasses me to walk down the street with him. He lives in Brooklyn somewhere.
That was Shelley Plimpton from the original cast of Hair with Frank Mills.
We're going now to a musical version of a Roald Dahl novel called Matilda. Matilda, the musical, opened on April 11th, 2013 at the Schubert Theater and played 1,554 performances. This musical by Tim Minchin won special Tony Awards for the four young ladies who alternated in the title role of Matilda. We're going to hear a song from the original cast recording called The Hammer, and it's about the school's outrageous principal. Here she's sung by Bertie Carvel, and she's joined in the song by Lauren Ward and the Children's Chorus.
I believe that Matilda Werwood is an exception to the rules.
An exception to the rules in my school. Look at these trophies. How my trophies gleam in the sunlight. See how they shine. What do you think it took to become English hammer-throwing champion? 1969. Do you think in that moment, when my big moment came, that I treated the rules with casual disdain? Well, like hell! As I stepped up to the circle, did I change my plan? What? As I chalked up my palms, did I wave my hands? I did not. As I started my spin, did I look at the view? Did I drift off and dream for a minute or two? You think I faltered or amended my rotation? Do you think I altered my intended elevation? As the hammer took off, did I change my grunt from the grunt I had practiced for many a month? Not a jot, not a dot, did I stray from the plot? Not a detail of my throw was adjusted or forgotten. Not even when the hammer left my hands and sailed high up, up above the stands. Did I let myself go? No, 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 no. No. If you want to throw the hammer for your country, you have to stay inside the circle all the time. If you want to make the team, you don't need happiness or self-esteem. You just need to keep your feet inside the line. Sing, children. Two, three, four.
If you want to throw the hammer for your country,
four, off, three, you have to stay inside the circle all the time. huge success. You don't use sympathy or tenderness. You have to force the little squits to toe the line. Sing, Jenny! Hee-hee-hi!
If you want to go,
life's a ball, so learn to throw it. Find the bally line and tow it. And always keep your feet inside the line. Now get out.
Bertie Carvel, Lauren Ward, and the Children's Chorus sang The Hammer from Matilda the Musical.
I am in a minority when it comes to our next musical. I didn't like it the first time I saw it, and I haven't liked it since I saw it again. It's Miss Saigon, which opened at the Broadway Theater on April 11th, 1991. Had music and lyrics by Claude Michel Schoenberg, and Richard Maltby did the American lyrics for this. I just think it's a loud show, and I think Puccini did the story much more justice than what's done here. 3,072 performances, and from the original cast, we'll hear Lea Salonga and Simon Bowman with Sun and Moon. From Miss Saigon, that was Sun and Moon featuring Lea Salonga and Simon Bowman. Oh, and Miss Saigon was also the first show to charge $100 for mezzanine seats on Broadway.
Among all these dazzling April winners, we're going to introduce a loser, and that's Bring Back Birdie, which opened at the Martin Beck Theater and closed after three performances. But it did have an original cast recording, I think because its creators, Charles Strauss and Lee Adams, were hoping that the show would be done by the same young groups who did their big hit, Bye Bye Birdie, which was also an April opening.
They didn't want this show to go to Broadway. This was written purely for the high school groups and the community theater groups who had been doing Bye Bye Birdie so often. And as from what I heard, they actually fought to keep it off of Broadway, but they lost.
Well, I saw it, and it was okay. It was not good. It was not bad. It was okay. And from that original cast recording, we're going to hear Cheetah Rivera and Donald O'Connor sing about what happened in between Bye Bye Birdie and Bring Back Birdie in a song called 20 Happy Years.
Grover Cleveland High, oh Albert, 20 happy years flew so quickly by, oh Albert. 1960 seems like yesterday. Can we throw a perfect life away? Albert, listen, think of all we've got. Dogs and kids and barbecuing. Burglary is not what school teachers should be doing. We said bye-bye, Birdie, way back when. Let's forget him, dear. Get me out of here and take me home to Queens again. Two nice, healthy kids, summers in Camp Pocahontas. Love to see them smile.
We still owe the orthodontist.
Vietnam and Nixon we lived through. Poverty and music lessons too.
And those hamsters.
Gee, the kids were cute.
Those school plays were pretty hairy.
Jenny was a tree, remember?
Albert Jr. played a fairy.
Forest Hills is calling. Heed that call. 20 happy years. Let's not blow it now. You and I, we've got it all.
Maybe you're right, Rose. You know, we have been through an awful lot together. 20 busy years.
20 dizzy years.
Now let's try for 20 more.
From the original cast recording of Bring Back Birdie, you heard 20 Happy Years, sung by Cheetah Rivera and Donald O'Connor. A few of the other April clinkers had cast albums as well, A Cry for Us All and one I really liked called 70 Girls 70.
And don't forget Carmelina, which had the same story that Mamma Mia was based on. This is Michael Kanacki.
And this is Ted Otten.
And you're listening to Songs from the Shows of April on The Dress Circle. Well, let's go to another big hit. This time it was a revival that eclipsed its original. And that revival was of Guys and Dolls. It opened on April 14th, 1992 at the Martin Beck Theater and ran for 1,143 performances. We've played most of the major cast songs over the years, so we thought we'd go to Walter Bobby and J.K. Simmons with the title song.
Nicely, it is too bad that a smart businessman like Nathan has to go and fall in love with his own fiancée.
Benny, that is his weakness, and we should be tolerant because I am told it is a worldwide weakness. Look! What's playing at the Roxy? I'll tell you what's playing at the Roxy. A picture about a Minnesota man so in love with a Mississippi girl that he sacrifices everything and moves all the way to Biloxi. That's what's playing at the Roxy.
What's in the Daily News? I'll tell you what's in the Daily News. Story about a guy who bought his wife a small ruby with what otherwise would have been his union dues. That's what's in the Daily News.
What's happening all over? I'll tell you what's happening all over. Guy sitting home by a television set who once used to be something of a rover.
That's what's happening all over. Love is the thing that has licked him.
and it looks like Nathan's just another victim. Yes, sir, when you see a guy reach for stars in the sky, you can bet that he's doing it for some doll.
When you spot a John waiting out in the rain, chances are he's insane, as only a John can be for a Jane.
When you meet a gent paying all kinds of rent for a flat that could flatten a Taj Mahal,
call it sad, call it funny, but it's better than even money. That black guy's only doing it for some dough. When you see a Joe saving half of his dough, you can bet there'll be mink in it for some dough.
When a bum buys wine like a bum can't afford, it's a cinch that the bum is under the thumb of some little broad.
When you meet a mug lately out of the jug, and he's still lifting platinum folly rum, call it hell, call it heaven, it's probable 12 to 7 that the guy's only doing it for some dough.
Sport,
and his cash has run short, make a bet that he's banking it with some doll.
When a guy wears tails with the front gleaming white, who the hell do you think he's tickling pink on Saturday night?
When a lazy slob takes a good steady job, and he smells from Vitalis and Barbasol,
call it dumb, call it clever, ah, but you can give odds forever that that guy's only doing it for some doll.
From the revival of Guys and Dolls, that was Walter Bobby and J.K. Simmons with the title song.
Our next show is A Chorus Line, which opened on April 15, 1975, originally off-Broadway at the Public Theater, and then when it moved to Broadway, it racked up 6,137 performances. And from the original cast recording, we're going to be hearing a song for three young ladies who have happy memories of their early dance training at the ballet. They are Carol Kelly Bishop, Nancy Lane, and Kay Cole.
Daddy always thought that he married beneath him. That's what he said, that's what he said. When he proposed, he informed my mother he was probably her very last chance. And though she was 22, though she was 22, though she was 22, she married him. Life with my dad wasn't ever a picnic, more like a come as you are. When I was 5, I remember my mother dug earrings out of the car. I knew that they weren't hers, but it wasn't something you'd want to discuss. He wasn't warm. Well, not to her. Well, not to us. But everything was beautiful at the ballet. Graceful men lift lovely girls in white. Yes, everything was beautiful at the ballet. I was happy at the ballet. That's when I started class. Up a steep and very narrow stairway to the voice like a metronome. Up a steep and very narrow stairway. It wasn't paradise.
It wasn't paradise.
It wasn't paradise, but it was home.
Mother always said I'd be very attractive when I grew up, when I grew up. Different, she said, with a special something and a very, very personal flair. And though I hated her. Now, different is nice, but it sure isn't pretty. Pretty is what it's about. figure that out. So beautiful, I'd never live to see. But it was clear, if not to her, well then to me, that everyone is beautiful at the ballet. Every prince has got to have his swan. Yes, everyone is beautiful at the ballet. I was pretty.
Except each other. I mean, I was born to save their marriage. But when my father came to pick my mother up at the hospital, he said, well, I thought this was going to help, but I guess it's not. Anyway, I did have a fantastic fantasy life. I used to dance around the living room with my arms up like this. My fantasy was that it was an Indian chief, and he'd say to me, Maggie, do you want to dance? And I'd say, Daddy, I would love to dance. But it was clear when he proposed that I was born to have their marriage and when. That's what he said.
That's what she said.
I used to dance around the living room. He wasn't warm, not to her. It was an Indian chief and he said, Maggie, do you want to dance? And I said, Daddy, I would love.
From A Chorus Line, you heard At the Ballet, sung by Carol Kelly Bishop, Nancy Lane, and Kay Cole. We hope you're listening to this broadcast as a financially supporting member of whatever public radio station you listen to. Public radio needs your dollars, and public radio cannot exist without your financial support.
Well, we'll move on to another show that ran over 1,000 performances, and that was Big River, which opened at the Eugene O'Neill Theater on April 25th, 1985, and ran for 1,005 performances. It had music and lyrics by Roger Miller. From the original cast of Big River, we're going to be listening to Patty Cohenour, Daniel Jenkins, and Ron Richardson with Maybe Leavin's Not the Only Way to Go.
Come too early? Was the night not long enough? Does a tear of hesitation fall on everything you touch? Well, it might just be a lesson for the hasty heart to know. Maybe leaving's not the only way to go.
Maybe lay and let your feelings grow accustomed to the dark. And by morning's light, you just might solve the problems of the heart. And it all might be a lesson for the hasty heart to know. Maybe leaving's not the only way to go.
People reach new understandings all the time. They take a second look, maybe change their minds. People reach new understandings every day. Tell me not to reach,
and I'll go away. Does a tear of hesitation fall on everything you touch?
Well, it might just be a lesson for a hasty heart to know.
Maybe leaving's not the only way to go. And a heart without a home is such a lonesome road to hoe. Maybe leaving's not the only way to go.
From the original cast of Big River, a musical about Huckleberry Finn, that was Patty Cohenour, Daniel Jenkins, and Ron Richardson with Maybe Leavin's Not the Only Way to Go.
Another of April's big winners was Jekyll and Hyde by Frank Wildhorn and Leslie Bricus. It opened on April 28, 1997 at the Plymouth Theater and ran for 1,543 performances. Fortunately, it had a brilliant performance in the title roles, both of them, and they were performed by Robert Cuccioli. And toward the end of the score, Jekyll confronts Hyde. And here is Robert Cuccioli with a song called Confrontation.
In the darkness, silence surrounds you. Once there was morning, now endless night. I will find the answer. I'll never desert you. I promise you this till the day that I.
Do you really think that I would ever let you go? Do you think I'd ever set you free? Do, I'm sad to say, it simply isn't so. You will never get away from me.
All that you are is a face in the mirror. I close my eyes and you disappear.
I'm what you face when you face in the mirror. Long as you live, I will still be here.
All that you are is the end of a nightmare. All that you are is a dying scream. After tonight, I shall end this demon dream.
This is not a dream, my friend, and it will never end. This one is the nightmare that goes on. Hyde is here to stay, no matter what you may pretend. And you'll flourish long after you're gone.
Soon you won't die and my silence will hide you. You cannot choose but to lose control. You can't control me, I live deep inside you. Each day you'll feel me devour your soul. I don't need you to survive like you need me. I'll become whole as you dance with death. And I'll rejoice as you breathe your final breath. For I live inside you forever now with Satan himself by my side. You see it over now. It's time to die. No, not I, only you. If I die, you die too. You'll die in me, I'll be you. Then you hide, set me free. Can't you see you are me? Now, deep inside, I am you. You are Hyde. No, never.
Yes, forever!
God damn you, Hyde! Take all your evil deeds and rot in hell!
I'll see you there, Jekyll.
Never!
From the original cast recording of Jekyll and Hyde, Robert Cuccioli sang Confrontation.
Carol Hall's The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas started life at the Intermedia Theater, which is now the East Village Cinema, and apparently was only the Intermedia Theater for Whorehouse. It opened on April 17, 1978, and moved up to the 46th Street Theater after some 64 performances. Its total run, 1,703 performances. From the original cast, here's Carlin Glynn with The Bus from Amarillo.
Caught a bus in Amarillo, it was going to San Antone. Had a brand new cardboard suitcase and a window seat alone. And I thought that I was something, and I dreamed I'd travel far. Maybe be a restaurant hostess, maybe be a movie star. And the bus from Amarillo raced a train along the track, but I never looked behind me, 'cause I wasn't coming back. I had a one-way ticket to nowhere. I was finally traveling free. I had a one-way ticket to go. Possible for me. We were driving on through Cisco on our way around to Baird. Got a sudden funny feeling, and I knew that I was scared. I was shaking like a leaf as we were coming round the curve. Had the suitcase, had the ticket, but I didn't have the nerve. Yes, the bus from Amarillo had me so damn terrified that I got off at the next stop and I never took that ride. Didn't want that one-way ticket to nowhere. Didn't want the traveling free. Didn't want that to go where anything was possible for me. Well, it's hard now to determine how a plan just disappears, how the days can turn to weeks, and how the weeks can turn to years. And it's funny how you wait for things and want that lucky day. And it's funny, when the bus stopped, I got off and walked away. And the bus from Amarillo, I can hear it still go by. Guess I missed my only chance, and now
I swear I don't know why. Guess life's a one-way ticket to know. To go where anything was possible for me, anything was possible for me.
That was Carlin Glynn with The Bus from Amarillo from the Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Our next April winner is Annie, which opened at the Alvin Theater on April 21st, 1977, and played 2,377 performances. From the original cast recording, we're going to be hearing that happy song, which almost concludes the show. It's called I Don't Need Anything But You, and it was sung by Andrea McCardle, Sandy Faison, Reed Shelton, and the company.
Together at last.
Together forever.
We're tying a knot
they never can sever.
I don't need sunshine now to turn my skies to blue. I don't need anything but you. You wrap me around that cute little finger. You've made life a song. You've made me the singer.
And what's that bathtub tune you always ba-ba-boo?
Ba-ba-ba, anything but you. Say that again.
Yesterday was plain awful.
But that's
not now.
That's then.
I'm poor as a mouse.
I'm richer than Midas. But nothing on earth could ever divide us. And if tomorrow I'm an apple seller too, I don't need anything but you. Hamlet needed his mother.
Woolworth needed his shop.
Orville needed his brother. Or else
he'd go
kerplop.
You used to need work to fill every hour.
I needed to feel that feeling of power. Now every other need has disappeared from view. I don't need anything but you.
From Annie, you heard I Don't Need Anything But You, sung by Andrea McCardle, Sandy Faison, Reed Shelton, and the company.
Another big winner was Rent, that opened at the Nederlander Theater on April the 29th, 1996, after playing at the New York Theater Workshop for a six-week run, and it won the Pulitzer. Jonathan Larson never saw the show premiere, but he did write a song that has been a staple around the world. Here is the company to sing Seasons of Love.
Five hundred twenty-five thousand moments so dear. 600 minutes. How do you measure a year? In daylights, in sunsets, in midnights, in cups of coffee, in inches, in miles, in laughter, in strife, in 525,600 minutes. How do you measure a year in the life? How about
with Seasons of Love from Jonathan Larson's Rent. We have to bid you goodbye, but hope you'll join us next week. Until then, this is Michael Kanacki.
And this is Ted Ott.
Wishing you a pleasant evening from the Dress Circle.